All right, so Father, thank you for this time tonight. We do pray you bless the word of God here, which is so precious to us. As we hear it, Lord, we pray you just allow our minds to receive it and our souls to enjoy it. We pray, Father, for just a great time tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to start in Mark chapter 10. Monday is going to be 79. So next week it begins. Praise Jesus.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh.
The Lord. Yeah. This too shall pass, right? Starting in verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." All right? Not an uncommon thing to ask a teacher. They want maybe some counsel or some guidance. This is not that. He says to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on the other or on your left in your glory." Now, I've thought about this many times. And, you know, some people believe, and we've kind of debunked it, that, you know, you get a mansion on a hilltop somewhere far away in glory. I certainly, that has no appeal to me at all. That's probably why I never got too excited about having a mansion on a hilltop. You know, unless it was loaded with my family and friends, I have no interest. Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are many dwellings." And that's the promise that we have. But here these guys are saying something that they want to have prominence. They want to have maybe some authority. The one wants to be on the right hand, and one wants to be at the left hand in glory, right? I hope I'm in Jesus' basement. You know, I'll take a cot in the basement as long as it's in Jesus' house. Doesn't matter. So these guys want, you know, right hand, left hand thing. And Jesus says, "You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Now, what he's saying here is this place is reserved for, you know, one who would do as Christ has done and would do in what we see as the crucifixion and to be baptized into the suffering that Christ was baptized in. These guys say, "We are able." You know? And, you know, you just think to yourself, wow, this is really just amazing. And Jesus says, "Oh, you'll indeed drink the cup I drink. But you're not going to do it willingly. You're going to drink the cup. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized." Isn't that interesting? So why can't they have it if that's going to happen? It's not mine to give. It's not mine to give. And it goes on here, and he says, "But to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared." Now, when they heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Now, the other guys hear this request, and now they're like, "What a couple idiots you are." These guys jump all over James and John. And then Jesus called to them and called them to himself. He said, "Guys, come here. You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentile lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority. Yet it is not so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all." This is the priority of the family of God. It is not necessarily our motive to be great and therefore we serve. But serving is such a priority and serving is of such value that Jesus said it's the great believer who serves. It is the great believer who serves. You see that? A great believer is one that serves. It's not one that speaks or sings. It's not one who leads or teaches. It's not one who casts visions and builds empires and buildings. And it is the one who serves. This is the one that Jesus considers. This is the hierarchy of spirituality. And at the top of the hierarchy of spirituality is serving. And he says here, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Now, when I go to a restaurant, right, I don't expect to do dishes when I'm done eating. I don't have to cut the vegetables and get the water boiling, right? We don't. You go to a restaurant, you go to get served. And the waiter comes there, and the waiter walks up to your table, and he doesn't say, I'd like some water. Can you go back in the kitchen and get it for me? The waiter is there to do what?
Serve.
Right? We understand why we are where we are in every other place. But somehow when it comes to the body of Christ, people get a little confused. People get a little bit confused when it comes to the body of Christ. And I want you to think of this for a minute. Jesus Christ is God the Son. Amen? He said in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father, right? So if Jesus serves, what does that tell you about the Father? The Father is also a servant. God, we never think of God this way. The omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, everywhere present God serves the family of God. The Father serves the family of God by answering prayer. The Father serves the family of God by providing for it. The Father serves like a good dad, and the father in the household serves his children, makes sure they have what they need, food, clothing, shelter, health care, all the stuff you try to give. We never feel like we do enough. God does enough. Paul said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. The Father is an amazing servant. Amen? Jesus serves the body. How does Christ serve the body? Christ serves the body through the Word of God. He's the living Word. He lives in every believer as the Father and the Spirit of God do. But Jesus is operational in the sense of his blood is efficacious permanently and in a moment-by-moment basis. And he is our mediator and our interceder. He intercedes for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us, and he is not only the one who receives our prayers and intercedes on our behalf, but he also is our mediator, which is that standing propitiation for our sin, which in reality and in eternity, Jesus Christ will eternally be our mediator. He will always be the reason that we have a relationship with God. The Holy Spirit serves the body of Christ by bringing back to remembrance the things which are taught to us. The Holy Spirit serves the body of Christ by baptizing those that believe into a position in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit serves the body of Christ by bringing conviction through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit serves the body of Christ by teaching and providing gifts to the body in which they operate in teaching and leading, administration, helps, sometimes healing, sometimes faith, all kinds of gifts. The Spirit of God serves. The Trinity is a serving God. He is a serving God. He serves the body of Christ. This is why there will never be real joy in anyone's life until they learn to do what? Serve. Because we are made in the image of God. And our highest purpose is to serve. The highest priority of spirituality is to serve. Jesus tells these guys, he said, listen, you want to be great? You want to have amazing impact? You want to have amazing eternal notoriety. Your eternal notoriety will be as a result of your humble service. In 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, the Word of God tells us that God gives us the ability to serve as a gift. The ability to serve as a gift. Let's read that. First Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Look at that. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies. And in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful phrase. What a beautiful wording. Such a lovely expression of this incredible principle that we serve one another, and in doing so, glorify God. There's so many people, how do I glorify God? Serve one another. How do I glorify God? Serve one another. The problem with most believers is that they are waiting to be served. They are in the restaurant waiting for the service to come. That's our problem. We are waiting for somebody else to tell us they love us. We're waiting for somebody else to come alongside and help us with our problem. We're waiting for somebody else to do what God has intended for all of us to do. And as a result, we lack joy. He equips with doctrine so that we can serve the body of Christ in Ephesians 4:11. This equipping comes through the ministry of the pulpit and the teachers of the church and those who give examples, male and female. And the body becomes equipped for the ministry, equipped to serve, to fulfill God's purposes. And He even provides the giftedness by which we serve in those capacities. God gives the command to serve, but He always provides the gift for which the service will come, from which the service will come. You understand this? But the service is not optional. Serving for the saint is not optional. None of us are volunteers. At the same time, in Philippians 2, verse 13, it says that it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Now, I want to say something about the good pleasure of God. This is that thing for which is God's highest desire. The highest desire of God for you and I is that we would fulfill our purpose as He created us to fulfill it. That gives God the greatest joy and greatest pleasure. John said it like this: it gives me joy to see my children walk in love. You know, it gives me great joy to see my children walking in love. But service is not optional. We are not volunteers. God is working in us. God does this incredible personal work in every single one of us, which changes our desires, which makes us want to serve, makes us want to do His will. It gives us a desire to do it. It's not that we, there's no glory to God in the grudging servant. There's no glory to God in the person who does God's work without joy. Someone who does it, who thinks it's a chore instead of a privilege. That does not bring God glory. As Paul said with givers, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You know, He loves a cheerful giver. It's one reason why we don't spend a lot of time in our pulpit badgering people about giving. I believe that you are your own believer priest, And I believe that God will touch you and lead you and trigger you at times to give according to what God is leading you to give. But we're not going to berate you. We're not going to manipulate you. We're not going to pressure you. Oh, you have to do this. Oh, you have to do that. And I certainly won't do it from the pulpit. Now, I'll teach the principle of tithing. I will even preach the biblical principle of faith promise. But it's up to you with what you decide to do with that. Hello? It's up to you. Now, as a vision, as a church, we would love to see everyone winning souls. We'd love to see everyone taking Bible study. We'd love to see everyone involved in every service. On Sunday, we had, I believe the number I counted was 67 adults maybe, or 64 adults, something like that. I would love to see 64 of those same 64 adults on a Wednesday night. But you know what? If I consider the Wednesday night as something that is an optional thing, instead of my opportunity to be with the body of Christ and minister to my family, then I won't be a Wednesday night, but I won't make it. Not even a Zoom. I won't make it to anything. So God gives us this command to serve, but so many view serving as a chore and not a joy. Like we wrote Rob Smith's lyrics in the song The Call, it's a privilege, not a chore. Joy is found in selfless acts. Joy is found in selfless acts. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. Just think about this. Pleasure is different than joy. Pleasure is seasonal. Pleasure is temporary. In Hebrews 11:25, the Bible says that Moses chose to suffer with the people of Israel rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin, which were temporary for a season. Now, listen to this next statement. Those without joy seek pleasure and find frustration. Did you hear me? Pleasure is an attempt at substituting joy. An absence of joy, in the absence of joy, the world will seek pleasure. People seek pleasure. Selfishness is what drives this. I want to feel, and fill in the blank. I want to have, fill in the blank. I want to be, fill in the blank. I want, fill in the blank. Service, which is what we're talking about, postures my soul in a state of selflessness. The more I serve, the more I grow in selflessness. And when I'm not occupied with me, I'm occupied with others. I'm occupied not with my own needs, but with the needs of others. I'm occupied not with my wants, but what other people want. Follow this? If I'm not at that state in my soul, I'm going to seek pleasure, temporary pleasure. Temporary pleasure. So those who seek, those without joy seek pleasure and find frustration. Those who have joy find pleasure without frustration. To have money in your pocket is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with having money in your pocket. When you're married, sex is a good thing. But when we start to pursue those things outside of the will of God, it ought to indicate something to us, that something's wrong. And that thing which is wrong is we're being selfish. God gives us a direction to serve. Two words, one another. I don't know what I should do, what ministry I should have. Doesn't matter. Serve one another. Should I do you know, Sunday school? Should I do music? Should I do the VBS? Should I do missions? Should I serve on a board? Should I do this? Should I clean? What did I do? Start one another. Start by serving one another. Find somebody to serve. It's easy. Everyone in this room has a need that somebody else could help them with. Everybody. But see, my problem, and yours, but my problem is I'm waiting for someone to come and serve me. And I'm not going to serve somebody else until I get served first. I have more needs than, and we view our own lives as, I have more needs than everybody else. So I'm paralyzed in this selfless state of sinful evaluation that prevents me from laying down my life in an act of love for the brethren. Division in a church, and I'm going to say this, 90% of the time when there's division in the church, it's because somebody refused to serve. Very seldom is it doctrine. Very seldom is it, you know, addressing an unrepentant sin. Usually, it's somebody won't just say, hey, is that, do you like it that way? Let's do it that way. You know, how can I just serve in this situation? In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we offer ourselves to God a living sacrifice. That's not just some spiritual concept. That's done through service. How do I know that? Because it says so. Which is your reasonable, say it, service. Latreo, that's the word. It's a little different than ministering, but it's a word that means that's your priestly obligation, your priestly right, your priestly function is service. Now, we don't have a temple. We don't have animals to slay. We don't have a temple to clean. We don't have things to, you know, wipe down gold basins and all that stuff. We have the body of Christ. The priestly service of the Christian is in the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Spirit of God. So latreo means wash one another's feet. Latreo means serve one another with prayer. Latreo means build one another up. Latreo means encourage one another. We're to serve with all our heart. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Colossians 3. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Well, that's just serving the Lord. That's not people. Read the previous verse. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service of men pleasers, but sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You know what a great service is? A great service is when you're on your job to be the best employee you can possibly be. To be the model employee. I'll say this. You don't consider leaving your job until you've become the model employee. If you can't say, I'm trying to be the model employee here, don't leave your job. You haven't learned anything yet. God put you in that rotten job so you could learn how to be the model employee. Now, I know some of your personal situations, and I can tell you, you are the model employee. And I will hire you soon. You are the model. Did I say that out loud, Amory? But I just will say this. You know, many people, they bounce from job to job to job to job to job to job. and they have no intention of ever doing anything with all their heart. And you got to wonder, do they do anything with all their heart? You know, what do you do with all your heart? You know, I think like I got a friend of mine who he goes all in on everything he does. He starts learning golf. He wants to master golf. He starts fishing. He wants to master his fishing. He's like everything he does. I got to hand it to him. He does it with all his heart. Now, the priorities aren't great. I'd love to see him study the Bible with all his heart. Then he can go fishing and golfing with all his heart. So I like the all his heart thing, but I think there's something missing there. But what about us? What about you and I? What are you doing with all your heart? So let's say you're here and you're part of the cleaning crew. Do you clean with all your heart? Or are you one of those guys that says, it's good enough for, what was the phrase we used to say? Oh, good enough for government work. Remember we used to say that in the military? That's good enough for government work. Now, I know there's a difference between a Marine barracks and an Army barracks. And there's a further difference between an Army barracks and an Air Force barracks. The Marine barracks, you know, you could eat off the floor. The Army barracks, you could probably eat off the floor because it's probably really clean, but not like a Marine's floor. In an Air Force barracks, you could eat off the floor because there's that much food on the floor. It's different, right? But you know, that's like, do you take pride in the right sense of doing things with all your heart because you know one day you'll stand before Jesus Christ and present this act of service as a bouquet of flowers to the one you love? You know, where you're literally, your service is a present to God. You know, I've been thinking about this conference coming up. This conference, we ought to serve in a capacity where this conference becomes a bouquet of flowers that we give to God and to one another, that we serve one another in such a way. You know, I'll tell you, you guys are like this. I know you're like this because you've done it with me and each other for years. We got to our B&B in Florida, and you know, you walk in the door and there's this massive we'll do a basket for someone. It's like a little basket. They're beautiful. A little bit of fruit in it, a couple crackers, right? This was like a bathtub on the counter. It was huge. Crackers, cheese, drinks, snacks, chocolate bar, popcorn. What else was in there? Peanuts. All the stuff that was gluten-free and on the counter. A heating pad, brand new, not even out of the box. Ice pack, brand new, in the fridge, freezer. Your ice pack is in the freezer. Go in the freezer. What was in the freezer? Ice cream. This is the best stuff you've ever eaten in your life. And at the bottom of the basket, a little container of blue emu to put on my back. That's special. That was a bouquet of flowers that I could eat. Then we swing the refrigerator door open, right? Two wrapped Greek gyros. Oh, they were super. They were so good. Yeah, but these were phenomenal. Besides that, these were absolutely phenomenal. Two packages of Dalmatas. Two packages, not one, two. A container of gyro meat for her and a salad.
And you didn't eat dinner tonight, did you?
No, I had rice and beans. It was specific. It was personal. You know, it wasn't just, oh, and there were two gift cards. One for Starbucks and one for the local supermarket, $50 each. So you look at something like that and you say, I could go home right now and it's like I've been at a 1 week conference. That's how edified I was just by that act. And they were put together beautifully, too. They were just, and I don't want to beat this to death, but it really deserves, I don't know. I think service is so important because of what it does to people, what it does for people, and how it encourages people, you know? So here it says, whatever you do it with all your heart. There's a reward coming. You know, I heard a story of a boat was returning from overseas. This is probably in the 30s or 40s. I don't know who wrote this story. It might have been Malcolm Muggeridge or somebody like that. Said that there was a politician on the boat and there was a missionary on the boat. And the politician, the boat pulled into port and the horn, the band was playing and the American flags were waving. And off the senator goes. And the missionary kind of looked at it, was sort of sad. And the person that was traveling with him said, well, that's happening for him because he's home. You're not home yet. You know, wait till you get home. You know, if there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, I wonder what kind of reception Menzo and Dr. Lewis and Tim Kirke and Richard Wood and Fred Deary and so many others received when the father welcomed their children home. He was serving them. We didn't get to see that service. We all will. But imagine the service. Imagine the angel wings that come to carry us home. I'm going to sing a song on Sunday that Pastor Wood wrote the words to and asked me to put the music. And I've struggled for a long time to put music to it. I put music to it during COVID, and I've rewritten it a little bit. But it's about, you know, we don't deserve to be escorted into God's presence by the angels. We don't deserve that, right? But they serve. And God serves his people with that kind of love. We have various gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:4, the charismata by which we serve. This is, by the way, the word gifts is charismata. That Greek word, charis, is the word for grace. That's part of the same word for gifts. And I was thinking about what the relationship between grace and the gifts are. The gifts are grace made concrete through service. That's the gifts. Grace made concrete through service. Service, the word for service is diakona, D-I-A-K-O-N-A, which is the same word for deacon. Now, we have four deacons right now, four or five. Four in the office of deacon, so to speak, here in the church. These deacons serve. Now, I know where there's boards of deacons in churches and all they do is bicker. You know, our deacons, our leaders serve. And we have other people that are not deacons that are equally qualified and they serve just as much. But there is service. The word service, you know, the church is not a stage that you perform on. It's a family in which you live and serve. Right? So a singer gets up on the platform, and they're not on a stage performing. They're among their family serving. They're serving an emotion. They're serving an experience. They're serving an essence of God. They're serving a manifestation of who God is to the congregation. That's the role of the music ministry. That's the role of a singer. We had one person back in Rome. Once in a while, he was asked to do a special song, and he gets so uptight about it. It's like it had to be perfect. To him, it was a performance, and it gave the air of a performance. You're not performing; it's not a stage. It's a service. The congregation should honor that service and be great. and be thankful for that service. That's why when you hear a singer do a song and you clap, thank God for that. I've been in churches where this person gets up, pours their heart out, sings a song, nobody applauds. I'm thinking, what is it? It's because we're all in some holy place where we can't clap our hands. Is it irreverent to show appreciation to the person serving that way? Well, we don't want to give glory to a person. Oh, stop. Silly. Don't be silly. Of course we want to appreciate people. Let them know how much we appreciate their service. We were visiting a church in Michigan. And the pastor who was serving as the pastor at the time was a Shakespearean study. What do they call him? I don't know, he did some understudy and some Shakespearean classical acting. And the message that he preached, and he didn't have an English, he wasn't even English. The message that I preached. You know, what was the word we were saying? Yes, he was giving different names for Yahweh. You know, and Merpenderp Yahweh, you know, whatever the name, you know. So he said a bunch of Greek words, and Amory looked at me and said, Merpenderp Yahweh. Merpenderp. But this guy was like on it, and everyone was in awe of the words and the presentation, and the content was like, meh. It was the weakest content.
And then we started laughing and almost got kicked out.
Harry Bennett on a bad day had more content with 3-year-olds than this guy had up in the pulpit with his church. But because of he was on a stage. He wasn't serving. Real joy in life is found service in the context of the body of Christ. Real joy is found there. It's not found outside the body of Christ in some individual quest for happiness. I'm going to go find myself. Well, let me just warn you, you're not going to like what you find. Somebody said that to me a couple months ago. I'm going to go find myself. This wasn't a believer. We were having coffee. So I need a vacation. Really, why? I need to go find myself. I said, well, you're not going to like what you find. If you truly find yourself, you're not going to like what you find. What he really was saying is he wanted to go out and just go party for 2 weeks and get bombed and spend $5,000. But there are different gifts, charismatia, and that's grace made concrete through service. Then there's different services, and that's the putting yourself in the posture of a slave before other people. And then there's activities, emergima, and that's power. This is operational enablement. God literally gives an enablement to serve through the gifts. All for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. For the body of Christ, verse 12, and so on. For you and I tonight, the quest for real joy ends when we serve the body of Christ. Not performing in it. Not looking for adulation from it. Not trying to drag some fulfillment out of other people. But by laying down our lives without any expectation of getting anything in return. God provides the joy. God provides fulfillment. God provides happiness. God provides fulfillment. Listen to me. God provides that stuff. No person will ever provide your fulfillment. Oh, I met my soulmate. This is recent. He said to me, they complete me. No, they don't. You're a complete idiot if you think that. No one can complete, no human being completes you. Colossians 2:10 says, I'm complete in Christ. I'm fulfilled in Christ. And if you don't find your completion in Christ, if you don't find your joy in Christ and serving and laying down your life, you're going to be worthless to anybody. If you're looking for your wife to make you happy, if you're looking for your husband to be that model husband that you can, you know, your personal trophy as a model husband. Now, some of you got it pretty good. Quit rolling your eyes. But I will say this. I will say this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He served her. Wives, honor your husbands. Why? Because you're reflecting the glory of God to them and you're serving your husbands. It's all serving. So it's just all about serving one another. You know? It's all about serving one another. I think when you finally get yourself in a place where you're willing to serve the body of Christ and serve your family, you start finding this amazing happiness. It's not describable. You can't describe it, you know. To just be happy serving God and be happy serving people. With no expectation. You know, and you don't come across like you're begging for anything, you want anything. You just love the privilege of serving God and serving people. That's a fulfilled Christian. That's somebody who's found true happiness. Right? I want to show you a video. Here's a guy who's found some happiness in Bali, Indonesia. And this is our good friend. He's an IEGM missionary. This is Wade Johnson. And we'll give you a little bit of his... before we start, let me give you a little bit of a story here. He served in the church in Baltimore for many years. He and his wife, Paula. Paula had an excellent career. Wade's father, Ron Johnson, part of the church for many, many, many years. So they had a rich history in being part of a church that had been really established. And he'd been to Thailand. Well, he went from Thailand and for a while was completely by himself serving in Indonesia. Not connected to anybody and just kind of out there. And then Dr. Lewis reached out, and it's just an amazing story. And some of it's just so funny, but we'll share you what he's doing in Indonesia. This is a great ministry. You're going to love this.
Hello to all of our friends and family in the Lord who are gathering together at the IAGM Missions Conference 2022. It's great to be with you by video. Greetings from the island of Bali in Indonesia, where once in a blue moon, you might be able to find some overpriced Pop-Tarts. My name is Wade Johnson, and I'm a missionary here with my wife, Paula, and she is currently in America, in Florida, and she is feeling your pain of high inflation, extreme gas prices, and overpriced Pop-Tarts. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world, but here on the island of Bali, it is all Hindu, mixed with traditional tribal beliefs from long ago. I have the honor of being the pastor of a small, international, non-denominational church here. Paula is leading a thriving and transformative women's ministry also. And by the grace of God, we have religious worker visas by the government to legally be here and do what we do. Isn't that amazing? And also, it's a fabulous community of faith where we have seen Indonesian Muslims, Balinese Hindus, and expatriate atheists all come to Jesus, get baptized, and follow him. So what a blessing it has been. We partner with local Indonesian churches, as well as gospel-focused NGOs led by other Christian workers here, and that specialize in perhaps human trafficking, orphanages, prison ministry, clean water projects, and all kinds of things like this. But we especially focus on this team of covert Balinese pastors who go in different areas of the island and present the gospel, pray for people, and do church planting. And this is an amazing ministry that has seen results after results of the Balinese in the villages coming to Jesus and then getting baptized and following him. And at great cost to them and their family. Do you want to see? Last night, we went to a store, my Charlie and I, and we bought all this rice. Yes. And today's delivery is to the orphanage.
Yes.
And Charlie received Jesus about 4 years ago, and he has been living in the Spirit ever since. Oh, sorry, your shoulder.
Yes, and, my
shoulder. So come with us to the orphanage, and we'll show you that.
Okay.
Well, here we are at the Kingdom Kids Children's Home, dropping off the rice. And it's a fabulous place of love and the Word of God and the hearts for these children. And I'll introduce to you to the couple, the great couple that run this place. And this is Kadek and Johanna. And they are awesome. And they have about 30, how many? 30 children here?
29.
Does that include yours?
Yeah.
And they give a wonderful home filled with God's love and purposes here for these children. And when they graduate, they send them off to, they go to Bible schools and other universities. So this is an amazing place worthy of rice and much, much more. So now Pastor Kadek, he runs, he's also overseeing the mobile pastors that we have been helping out and that you have been helping out here in Bali. And so, let's go meet them.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this is the team of traveling pastors. These are all Balinese men who are here and giving the gospel to all the villages all over the island. So this is Pagede. He's in Tabanan.
Yes.
Yeah, and
Putu Arkawan, Karangasem.
Karangasem is in East Bali.
Putu Siaryo, Denpasar.
Siaryo.
Kadek Daud.
Kadek, he's back.
Madi Noster, Singaraja.
Singaraja. And there's a couple guys that are not here with us this morning. Mm-hmm. And so, these are the ones that you're praying for, that you're believing God for, and that are really changing the island. And so many salvations and baptisms are coming from the villages through these men. So pray for these men as they are giving the gospel throughout the island. And thank you for your
thank you.
Prayer support.
Thank you.
We live in a traditional Balinese neighborhood, and today, just 50 yards from our house, they are performing a ceremony to dedicate the mother temple of the neighborhood. Do you want to see? So behind me here is the ceremony for the mother temple. They're dedicating a new building, and what happens here is that in this dedication, they will bring in this music, they will bring in dancers, they will fall into trances, and it's quite a scene. But they're dedicating this to bring the gods down to this new temple to welcome them. Small g. I didn't show you the trances where the demons come and really take over their bodies. This place is filled with black magic and all these kinds of things that are very real on this island. But Jesus said, my church he is building and the gates of hell will not prevail. So here in Bali, that's what we're doing. So you want to live in Bali too, right? Well, here's a way to do it. If you're 55 or over, you can come on a retirement visa, as many do, and live here and then get involved in whatever's going on here. Or you can come as a digital nomad and work online from here and still get involved in what God is doing. There's many opportunities for the gospel to be shared through your life here in Bali. But if you can't come, then simply pray for us. We appreciate all of that. It's a very dark, spiritually dark island. In need of God's light and love. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for gathering. God bless you all.
So he left the States to go to work for someone that he knew in Thailand. They were going to build a resort. They wanted to manage a resort. he got there, the resort hadn't been built yet. And they asked him to start clearing land and getting contractors out there and coordinating this effort. Then COVID came, and when COVID came, something else happened. The volcano erupted and put a kibosh on it. So here he is in Bali, no job. He went there on his savings, hoping that maybe this company would eventually get up and running and they'd give him a percentage, which is what they promised him. And he was in Bali. He got his wife to come over on their savings. They live off their savings. The church provides them a vehicle, pays the insurance on the vehicle, gives them a small stipend, and IAGM has been supporting him, or his people have been supporting him through IAGM, I think right anywhere from 50 to 100 hours a month while he's living off his savings. So we're going to just pray for people like that. He's willing to do that, and he such incredible joy. You know, you just on the phone, it was a blast talking to him. He's having a time of his life there serving. He loves serving. He loves doing this. Loves serving. But we got to find a way to help him. I don't know how. Maybe not us. Maybe you. I don't know. But we just need to pray and believe God for people like that, because they're doing a great work. I mean, those seven pastors he was talking about, he had the five there and two were missing. They're reaching thousands of people. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this night tonight. Thank you for Pastor Wade and Paula, what they're doing in Bali. Indonesia is a very dark place, and the work that they're doing and the trust that they've gained with many of the locals there is incredible. I pray, God, that you would raise up people to pray with them, raise up people who will maybe even visit, raise up people to support them. And we pray, Father, that you would just do some magnificent things there. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. We pray, God, that we would look for more opportunities with one another to help, to be a friend, to serve and edify and love and pick each other up when we're broken and fallen and in pain. And we just thank you so much, God, that our church is learning that and really does a great job with the manifold grace of God, which we receive. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.